if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings, welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. This is our 2023 AT&T Byron Nelson and Sudal Open Tips podcast, episode 257. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selection for this week's PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website with in-depth betting previews for both events. We've got strokes gained analysis for the AT&T Byron Nelson in Dallas, Texas. We've got course form statistics combined with current form stats. Plus, of course, don't forget the brand spanking new predictor models. All of these features, like this podcast, are completely free of charge with no paywall. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm at Bamford Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available along with my weekly golf betting show. Right, now you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. Keep those reviews coming. I've got a first, though. I've got a review that was actually emailed to us. And it's such a nice review, I thought... Here you go. The review tells the story itself. Just wanted to add some notes for this, lads. Rated you 5 stars on Spotify, but it doesn't allow me to add comments on there. So, entertaining, informative, and sometimes even win me money. What's not to love? Steve, Paul and Barry do an excellent job on this show. Easily the pod I look forward to the most every week. Their research is thorough. And the banter is top-notch. I don't know anyone who knows grass as well as Steve Bamford. Plus, keep up the good work, chaps. If this does not read out on the pod, please also give a shout-out to the chums. You may pick yourself up a few more listeners. Good luck with your bets, as always, and all the best. From Andy, and Andy is in East Sussex. Very kind of you, Andy. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Thanks for sending that through to us, Andy. And yeah, that was part of your majors competition entry. So best of luck with your picks for that as well.
The chums. I wonder who the chums are.
I was just trying to figure that out. It must be a golfing society or just a group of mates with a nickname for the group. Whoever they are, good luck to your golf season, boys. I'm sure bring on some nice weather for you.
As ever, we move on this week. It's an inexorable crawl through the year. We had the Wells Fargo last week. One, can you believe it? Wyndham Clark wins, and what an event to win! I was going to say it was a kind of Max Homer breakout, but Max Homer won that at 400-1. I mean, that was an absolute shock. Wyndham Clark has been playing some fantastic golf all year. And found that mental strength to actually see it home down the stretch, seeing off Xander in pretty much a head-to-head situation.
Yeah. Well, Xander had got himself into the lead, you kind of expected him to push on from that, but it showed some good mental fortitude, Wyndham Clark, and... we've not really seen that from him before, particularly in lower quality fields where he's had chances, and you know, the back nine's always been a particular problem for him on a Sunday. But yeah, held it together fantastically. Very impressive. Big scalp for him there.
We did say last week, power, distance to apex. Wyndham Clark, 11th for driving distance this season, 5th and 2nd last year for distance to apex. Mm. And we also said... red hot putter needed to win. He ranked third for strokes gained putting on the week behind only Denny McCarthy and our, well, they're both post-it note friends, aren't they? Denny McCarthy and Brendan Todd. Interestingly enough, KH Lee sneaking in fourth place on strokes gained putting. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to run through some metrics of my event to the week after. Top 10 tee to green last week. Finau 10, Neesmith. He's interesting for this week, Neesmith. Jaeger, Tom Kim at 7, Fleetwood 6, Corey Connors 5, Xander at 4, Tyrrell Hatton at 3, Gary Woodland at 2, Wyndham Clark first for tee to green last week and third for putting. That'll get the job done. That'll get the job done. Unfortunately, I had Gary Woodland, second for tee to green, finished 14th. So we know what happened there.
Just needs to find that spark with a putter, Barry. Gary, doesn't he? It'd be dangerous then.
Any thoughts on Rory? Seems to be hitting it off the planet on various holes.
It's not quite right, is he?
No.
You know, and that poses a dilemma for next week because he's going to be, well, he would be hot property for next week, but at that point,
I think there's too much noise and turmoil around the noise to be able to keep the focus for 72 holes of a major.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, perhaps he turns around. The last, he can do that.
Yeah, but yeah, I know. Do you remember the? I mean, it's gone back a few years now, but the Masters, like, disaster, and then he wins the next major. So,
What were your observations, the two of you, about Justin Thomas? Bearing in mind he's defending his PGA Championship title next week at Oak Hill.
Yeah, well, again, there's improvement there, but defending is. Defending a major championship is never going to be easy. I'm not sure that his season-long form has been strong enough for us to, or for me to take the plunge on him. But there's signs of improvement there.
20-1 as well, yeah.
Yeah, still something not quite right though.
Yeah. It was good to see Homer playing better last week as well. I thought it was a good event, though. I love Quail Hollow. Great, proper golf course. And it was good to see that we've seen it before. Really, we've had a lot of breakout wins there. So Clark actually fills that mantle pretty perfectly. So thrown himself into the Ryder Cup conversation now, chaps, as well. He really has. As has Adrian Meronk, Paul. Do you want to take us through that victory last week for Adrian Meronk?
Yeah, he's turning into quite some player, isn't he? It was 3 wins now since the Irish Open in July last year. So the Irish, Australian, and then the Italian Open. So he likes his national opens, doesn't he? Oh, we talked about strokes gained tee to green on the pod last week, and in this game, you always come back. If you do the post analysis, if you do the post mortem on an event, and then realise why you didn't pick someone who then goes on to win, it's, you know, you can cause yourself an awful bruise by kicking yourself. But yeah, Adrian Meronk was there to be picked. Strokes gained tee to green, he led that on the week. That's what we talked about in the pod. It's what I talked about in my preview. He gained 15 strokes from tee to green last week. Genuine numbers because they're on the shot tracker now rather than the caddy collated numbers. If you ranked the entire field last week by strokes gained tee to green for the season, he was top. It's staring me in the face and I didn't back him. And plenty did, so well done to all of the many, many, many people who backed Adrian Meronk at 22-1 last week because he was there to be picked into the world's top 50 now, 46th. In the world rankings. So, he's got a good chance of progressing from here because he will have access to all of the big tournaments. He's got a chance. 3 wins.
Let's talk Ryder Cup. You perfectly teed it up. Rahm, McIlroy, Yannick Paul, the European points qualifiers right now. He slips into 5th behind Victor Perez. And if we look at world points, Rahm and McIlroy, take them out of the equation. Hatton at 3, Hovland at 4, Fitzpatrick 5, Fleetwood 6, Lowry 7, Justin Rose 8, then Seamus Power at 9, Adrian Meronk at 10. So he's playing himself into a very nice position to get into the team. As they always say, you know, if you keep winning tournaments and doing well in them, the rest of it takes care of itself. Now, turning to the Americans, Scheffler, Homer, Xander at 3, Cam Young 4, Jordan Spieth at 5, Cantlay 6, so they're in the autos. Then we've got Burns, Thomas, Morikawa, Will Zalatoris, who clearly won't play. Wyndham Clark now jumps to 11. Kirk Kitayama at 12. Tony Finau 13. Chris Kirk 14. Harris English up to 15. It's going to be some team they send across. Some team. I'm going to state in the obvious. Anything else to take out of... I enjoyed watching some of the coverage, actually. To be frank with you, I wasn't really au fait with the Ryder Cup course. So I thought I'd take some time last week to really... Watch some of the... It's a lovely golf course, isn't it? It seems very open.
Yep.
I can see what you say about potentially having a feel, that's all I'm saying, of that Open de France setup.
Yeah.
It's certainly a tough golf course. I mean, that shot they were playing on that drivable par 4 with the green tucked behind the lake at the bottom of a hill, what a hole that is.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Absolutely, a stunning golf hole.
An actual punishment if you don't pull, you know, if you don't hit a good shot, like with those bunkers in the water. It's going to be very dramatic in match play. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, you can see how the course would set up nicely for kind of risk reward golf, and you know when they put the tees forward a bit on Saturday, the scoring was much lower, and you know it shows you how you can influence a course. And create that drama should you want to do it. So I'm expecting a variety of tee positions for the Ryder Cup that would encourage those kind of risk reward decisions, and it should make it exciting. But it's fundamentally it's a tricky course. If you miss your shots, you're in trouble around there. So a really good venue, I think, for the Ryder Cup.
So expect thicker rough. I could see plenty of long grass there already that's clearly going to get longer. It was interesting to see a lot of the stands were already up.
Yeah.
So clearly the infrastructure's going in. It's already there. Mm. Should be a cracker. Right, let's carry on with this week's golf. AT&T Byron Nelson on the PGA Tour. This has become the regular warm-up event for the PGA Championship, which is next week. Now, listeners, PGA Championship, I will put a link through to my research piece in the podcast description. It takes you through the PGA Championship, what we need to be looking for in terms of player shape, and a description of the renovated Oak Hill course. We are recording our PGA Championship research podcast on Friday. So the three of us will be talking PGA Championship, what to expect, course conditions, weather, blah, 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 on Friday. That will be distributed for your listening pleasure. We look forward to that. Back to this week's golf, Scotty Scheffler. He's 3-1 in a spot this week to win the AT&T Byron Nelson. I tipped up Jordan Spieth. He withdrew when I was putting my head on the pillow last night over here in the UK. So that means Tyrrell Hatton is second favourite at 14-1 best price. Jason Day 16-1. We've got Tom Kim at 20-1 in a single spot. Then we've got KH Lee, 25-1 in a spot, who's going for his third consecutive Byron Nelson title. He's level on odds with Hideki Matsuyama. We're then out to the likes of Kuzchar at 28-1, Adam Scott 33-1, Siwoo Kim 35-1. It's 40-1 bar the rest. Designated events, they have certainly created a two-tier scenario on the PGA Tour. We always used to have more popular tournaments and tournaments that weren't as popular, but that distinction is clearly far, far more visible these days. I mean, this week we have JJ Killeen, DA Points, Bovan Pelt, Ben Crane, and now George McNeil's been added to the field to replace Jordan Spieth with the, you know, Ricky Barnes, Derek Lamley. There are names in the list this week. Oh, Derek Ernst, another one. I can remember him winning at Quail Hollow.
Yeah.
I think that's the last time he ever got a top 10 on the PGA Tour. But it is what it is. It isn't the strongest of fields. But again, a 2-year exemption. Lots of points on offer. FedEx Cup, Ryder Cup points. You name it, it's available. The course this week, we're down in Texas. We're at TPC Craig Ranch. What can I tell you about TPC Craig Ranch? Well, the things I think are important. We had a scenario where Andy was talking about Steve Bamford, number one for grass in golf. I don't know if that's a great claim. But we've gone bent grass greens this week, Jack. Back on the bent grass. I'm just trying to work it through. Would this be, apart from the Masters, is this the first time we've seen bent grass greens this year? I think it is.
Yeah, what was it, Texas? No.
They play that with Poa Trivialist now, overseeded. Right, okay. So, yeah, I think this is the second time or in 2023, and we're into May, that we've seen bent grass greens. Parkland Resort, it's long, longish, 7,414 yards. But they've changed it this year. They've taken away one of the par fives. They've replaced it with a longer par four, the 12th. So we're now looking at a par 71. Greens, they're large, 6,800 square feet. They are bent grass. The other thing to note, the fairways here, zoysia grass. A southern United States kind of strain. If you're looking for courses that also play with zoysia, the most well known would be TPC Southwind, which they play every year, don't they? The other one being Eastlake, where they play the Tour Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Zoysia. Apparently, it's like bit of a carpet. It really kind of gets the ball sitting up far more than Bermuda grass or rye grass or anything like that. So it kind of sits there. It's almost like it's on a bit of a tee, but it's not on a tee. Some players like it, some players don't. So yeah, zoysia grass fairways, Bermuda grass rough, bent grass greens. Now this, even though they've changed it to a par 71, even though they tend to play this, and I don't think it's going to be any different this year, gusting up to 25 miles an hour some of the days. Sunday looks like it's relatively calm. There's forecasts for thunderstorms, but it's this 50-50 kind of chance. So we might get some water deposits and players being hauled off the course at points. It's just going to be an absolute birdie fest. KH Lee has ripped this golf course apart, hasn't he, chaps, over the last renewals that they've played it here. 26 under par last year and 25 under par the year before that.
Yep.
So you might find that 26 under par becomes 23 under par, something like that, with the fact that it's now changed to a 71.
Yeah, might lose two or three shots, I suppose.
You're not going to... Don't think this is going to become a more stringent test, because I don't think it is, really. Also worthy of note, since they've run the AT&T Byron before the PGA Championship, it has been won by Sung Kang, KH Lee, and KH Lee. So you'd be right in summarising that three South Korean golfers have won this event the week before the PGA Championship. The reason for that probably being... apart from Ben Ahn and Sung Jae Im, who lives in Atlanta, I believe, the rest of the Koreans all base themselves in Dallas, which is where they're playing this week. So I wouldn't be surprised. You won't find anything written about it, but I wouldn't be surprised if TPC Craig Ranch is a course that these guys tend to play fairly regularly as part of their practice or their their betting games that they play to keep themselves sharp between tournaments. KH Lee put it best. This is the easiest way to describe this course. You can look at all the stats, blah, 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 blah. He said, basically, it's all about approach shots and good putting, which is true. Strokes gained off the tee, 22nd. Strokes gained on approach, 5th. Strokes gained around the green, 17th. Tee to green, 4th. Strokes gained putting, 11th. Those are his two sets of stats merged together for his two wins here. So, strokes gained approach, 5th. Strokes gained putting, 11th. We're looking for people that can hit the ball very, very close, create plenty of birdie opportunities and actually have a putter that converts enough to start building those 66s, 65s that we'd want to be seeing on consecutive days to get towards the top of the leaderboard. I don't think driving distance here is a factor at all. Very dissimilar to Quail Hollow last week, where driving distance was ultimately critical. As I say, Jordan Spieth's out for me. I had him up at 10-1. It's his hometown event. He's got a wrist injury. So I've only got three to go through. I've got one at 20-1. I've got two more. One at 60, one at 90. So I'll take you through my 20-1 chance. I've already mentioned him on the podcast. His name is Tom Kim. 13th for around the green, 17th for approach, 20th off the tee last week, 7th tee to green at Quail Hollow. Not irregular to see him 62nd for strokes gained putting. That is his chagrin. But I think Tom Kim coming back to sleep in his own bed in Dallas, Texas. He played here last year, which was his first ever real PGA Tour start. He'd flitted across to America on odd occasions, but this was the first time he actually came to play. And from that, he started building some momentum, got himself a special temporary membership, and we know the rest of the story. He shot 67, 66, 67 to finish 17th here last year after an opening day 70, nice and slow. That took him out of contention to win, but from that point on, over the final 36 holes, final 54 holes, so Saturday through Sunday, Friday through Sunday, he was the 11th best player in the field. Safe to say, I think Tom Kim is far more established now on the PGA Tour, far more comfortable. He was 5th for approach, 12th for tee to green last year here. It's just whether the guy can putt. Make some putts this week. The switch to bent grass, that could be a key. What is worthy of note is his two wins on the PGA Tour. Bearing in mind, this guy is still 20 years of age. He won the Sedgefield, the Wyndham. He won that at 20 under par. There was some ridiculous closing round score that I can't... Was it a 61 or something he won with? It was something mad. He then went on to win the Shriners this season at TPC Summerlin. We were on board 24 under par. So his two wins are right in the perfect scoring ballpark for this. So I couldn't ignore him. So I'm on Tom Kim. 20-1 I got with William Hill, 8 places each way. Tom Kim. Any players under 60-1, chaps, that you are going to be putting up for this week at the Byron Nelson?
I've only backed two, and both of them are in that bracket personally. Seamus Power, I've backed 45-1. Started to show a little bit of form again, Seamus, hasn't he? 18th last week, played some nice stuff as well. And if you look at his record here at TPC Craig Ranch, 9th and 13th. Sorry, it's 9th and 17th from the two attempts that he's had here on this course. So Nice little combo there of not quite smacking you around the face form stats on both, but bubbling just under for a mid price, particularly with Spieth out. You know, there's not a massive amount at the top of the market when you take out Scottie Scheffler. Shame. I mean, you look at Seamus as well, 19 and 21 under par when he's won his two PGA Tour events. So he can get low enough, I think, to get himself into position to contend here this week. We shall see. The other one that I've backed is Tom Hoagie. Now, Hoagie is a bit of an up and down season, but if you look at these best efforts, third at the Tournament of Champions, closed there with a 64. We know that's a proper low scoring event, isn't it? Third at the Players' Championship as well. And you'll remember what he did at the Players, because he opened that week with a 78, staring a missed cut in the face, scraped the cut, then shot 62 in the third round, eventually finished third for what is a really strong performance there at TPC Sawgrass. So, I quite fancy he go well this week. He's got a little bit of form here as well, 17th here. Last year, so again, same kind of price. In fact, 55-1 available if you're happy to go with it's just six places each way on Tom Hoagie. He's one of those players that just doesn't get the respect that I think he should deserve in a lot of these markets. And there's plenty of players shorter than him who I don't think can boast those kind of performances that he's got under his belt so far this season. Power and Hoagie for me. About you, Barry. I bet you're on Power as well, aren't you?
I'm also, I'm on Seamus. Steve made a good point just in pre-podcast discussion that his wins have been in slightly less than max strength fields, and that's what this is this week. So, playing some nice golf and that kind of matches up well. So, I can't resist it. And it's a good price considering the strength of the field, I think, anyway. So, and my other bet in that kind of lower end is with the reappearance of bent grass greens, I've gone for Hideki.
Yeah, okay.
I know he's had a few weeks off with the neck injury, but it feels like that's been something he's just managed injuries his whole career. So, banking on him knowing when he's kind of okay to go, and the bent greens should make him a pretty happy man this week. So 25-1 was pretty appealing.
Yeah, you never quite know, do you, as to how his fitness is going to be, but I guess that's built into his price to a certain degree. And if he's fit and healthy, then again, it takes Scheffler out, and is Scheffler really a 22, 23 under man? I don't know. He's going to have a big eye on next week as well, isn't he? That's got to be the target, really, for Scotty. So, take him out of the equation.
On Sunday last year, Hideki Matsuyama shot a 10 under 62 to backdoor a top four finish. That's the kind of round he's like, right, okay, boys, it's time to see what's under the bonnet for the PGA Championship, and they're firing. He came up with a 10 under 62. He was at, do you know what? That wasn't the best score of the day. Xander shot a 61, 11 under par. That is mad. Neither contended at the PGA at Wimbledon. Remember? It was our old friend Mito Pereira, wasn't it?
Yeah. For 71 holes.
With Cam Young and the likes. And of course, the winners, Zalatoris and JT, coming from like nine back on Sunday.
Proper drama.
Proper. Right. I like those picks. Do like those picks. My next selection is JJ Spawn. 60-1 I got, eight places each way with Bet365 on JJ Spawn. These are my 8-week strokes gain trackers. Third for approach, fourth for tee to green, 14th for current form. Some of those numbers will change because they include Spieth. So all of this is going to have to be revised. The joys of putting content together when players withdraw. thing about Spawn is third at the 2019 AT&T Byron Nelson. That was the one won by Kang. Yes, it was played on a different golf course. I get that. It was a golf course, though, that featured zoysia grass carpet throughout. So there's a zoysia grass tick for Spawn. I also remember Spawn last year at TPC Southwind at that FedEx Cup event being the Saturday into Sunday leader and then completely capitulating when he realised he was playing with the best golfers in the world and shooting something crazily high. But clearly gets on with the zoysia. And add to that, he won the Valero Texas Open last year at TPC San Antonio. So he's a winner on the PGA Tour in Texas. Just like the way that he's playing golf. Great golf. I tipped him up a few weeks ago to defend that. That was on the premise that at the World Match Play that they played down at TPC San Antonio, he beat Matt Fitzpatrick. Well, Matt Fitzpatrick's gone on to win a PGA Tour event. He beat him 5-3. He beat Sahith Tigala 5-4. Well, so Tigala's been playing fantastic golf. And Minwoo Lee 2-1. And he was the group winner. So clear, all I'm suggesting is Texas golf, Texas agronomy, just gets on with it. So I thought 60-1 on JJ Spawn was a very nice price. I got that with Bet365, 8 places each way by their each way extra facility. And if we're going down the route of South Koreans, this guy was born in Seoul, then moved to California. I think he was 3 or 4. So American, but clearly Korean heritage. I can always remember with like an indelible pen scribbled in my mind, this guy winning the John Deere Classic in 2018. He won it at 27 under par. The thing that makes me laugh about this is he actually beat Francesco Molinari into second place. Francesco was 8 shots behind. Francesco got on the same charter flight to Edinburgh and then went on to win the Open Championship the week after. So this particular individual, Michael Kim, has rubbed it with some very good players over the years. He had an absolute disaster after he won his PGA Tour title. Years of nothing, slipped onto the Corn Ferry, but he is definitely in rebuilding stage. Another angle I like with Kim, in his bio, it says that he shares kind of homes between Houston and Dallas. Now, that makes sense because I'm sure that he's part of the South Korean PGA Tour team as they travel around. I expect he's probably seen this course before. I can't guarantee any of this, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's used this as a practice facility or played rounds around here. He actually competed here. When was that? 2021. He was 27th after 36 holes. Bearing in mind, back then, this was when he was in the like depths of his crisis, 7 missed cuts and a WD from his last 8 prior to arriving here. Tends to suggest he might like the course. But right now, he's playing some bloody good stuff, Michael Kim. He was 13th, I believe. Let's just check this before I quote it. He was 12th for tee to green last week at Quail Hollow, where he finished 7th. 12th for tee to green, 19th for strokes gained putting at Quail Hollow. I'd say that's probably the best finish that he's had on the PGA Tour. Probably going back to that John Deere Classic win. You know, designated field, proper golf course, finishes in 7th place. I think he could take that momentum forward. He's already had an 11th at Pebble Beach, 5th at Puerto Rico, and that 7th last week at the Wells Fargo. So yeah, Michael Kim, 90-1 I got. With William Hill, 8 places each way on Michael Kim. So the 3 I've got, I think I'm going to add one, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But Michael Kim at 90s, JJ Spawn at 60s, Tom Kim at 20s. Those are my 3. Do you want to recap yours, guys, or just add any extras and we'll move on to the Sudal Open?
Yeah, just Power and Hoagie for me.
I'm on Power and Matsuyama.
I don't know whether to add Power and scupper you guys, so I'll have a cup of tea and think about that as I'm erasing Jordan Spieth from my preview 573 times.
It did work for Max Homer back earlier in the season, one of those rarities where we were all on board.
It can work.
Yeah.
Right, Sudal Open. We're going to Belgium. Now, I always think of Belgians producing the best cyclists in the world. Eddy Merckx. They've got an absolute long list of fantastic cyclists right now. But we're there for the Sudal Open. And I take it there's clearly no Thomas Peters in the field.
No, there's not. No,
he sailed his ship.
Yeah, there's. What can you do? It's a similar looking field to what we've seen in the recent weeks. To be honest,
I see Dietrich's there. Dietrich's arriving, which is good off the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it's added a little bit of quality for what will be the second edition of the Sudal Open. But yes, talking of the event, it's been around a couple of years now, the second year. It took over from the Belgian Knockout, which I'm sure you'll remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Back in when it was called the European Tour, which was played on the same course here in Belgium, back in 2018 and 2019. So there was a little break, and then, this is the second of the Sudal Open. So we've got a little bit of course history to review. But yeah, no such complexities in terms of the knockout format this week. It's a straight stroke play, 156 players. As you say, Thomas Dietrich is here. He's joint favourite with Alexander Bjork at 18-1. Yannick Paul, Adrian Ategi, both 20-1. Jorge Campillo at 22s. Thorbjørn Olsen, 25-1. 33-1 bar those players. So yeah, there's a few, from the last few weeks, the likes of Rasmus Højgaard and Bob McIntyre are missing. But other than that, the field below that looks pretty similar to what we've come to expect on these regular run-of-the-mill DP World Tour events nowadays. Ball Sports, 8 places each way, 5th of the odds this week. They've been running that on the DP World Tour for a few weeks and months now, so it's good to have the consistency from Boyles. And of course, Bet365 have their each way extra proposition running on this event as well, so you can pick 8, 10, 12 places to your heart's content, however you wish to play your bets this week with Bet365. The course, Winkman International Golf Club, 6,940 yards, a short par 71. Now that's made up with just 2 par 5s and 3 par 3s. So in total, there are 13 par 4s on this course. And I think that is as high as I have seen on a professional course, and I think it's probably as high as you're likely to see in terms of a professional course. So it's just a string of par fours with the odd 5 and the odd 3 interspersed in there. Now, the user composite of the two courses here, there's a north and a south course, but it is the same routing that we saw last year at the Sudal Open. It's the same routing that we saw at the two Belgian knockout events as well. So it's nothing unusual in that respect. It's parkland in style, a mixture of tree-lined holes. There's a few exposed holes as well, so a bit of a mixture. A couple of par fives, as I say. There are also 2 short par fours on the back nine for players to attack if they so choose. Now, the greens are actually Poana-based, but they are overseeded each year with bent grass, and that gives them what is pretty much a bent grass finish. It's around about 80% bent, 20% power by the time they actually play it. So for all intents and purposes, you'd class this as a bent grass based putting surface, in my view. In terms of the conditions, weather conditions, very similar to last year, actually. Sunny spells, the odd shower, relatively light winds, 5-10 miles an hour, maybe a little bit more gusting every now and again, but nothing serious. Temperatures around about 17, 18 degrees in the afternoon. So that's the mid-60s in terms of Fahrenheit. Last year is a pretty good indicator in that respect because it was very, very similar. We've had 4 events here of note. All of these are included on this week's stats pages, so you can have a look through. Back in 2010, this was on the Challenge Tour. We had the Telinet Trophy. Now, that was won by Lee Slattery at 21 under par. slightly different routing that week. Since then, they've mixed. They've moved to this this composite north-south mix, as I just described. 2018 was the first Belgian knockout. That was Guido Migliozzi won in 2018. 2019, again, the Belgian knockout. Adrian Ategui won. We were on Adrian Ategui that week. 2022, last year, Sam Horsfield won 13 under par from the four rounds, a regular field, regular four rounds of stroke play, 13 under par. Sam Horsfield was 22-1 when he won here last year. I guess, you know, looking at those, the history there, No stats from the Challenge Tour, of course. You've got two rounds of stats for the Belgian knockout event. So it's just the two, the first and the second rounds in terms of the stroke play element of that event. And then you lose all the stats for the match play element afterwards. So stats really are quite patchy. We do have a full suite of stats for last year, though. So if you dig through those, you can get a little bit of a feel as to how this course plays. Sam Horsfield was first, as I said. Ryan Fox and Yannick Paul both tied for second. Digging through their numbers, all three of them were top 15 for greens and regulation. Horsfield was second for scrambling. Yannick Paul was third for scrambling as well. So they both had a particularly strong week around the greens. Ryan Fox, in terms of old school stats, he was second for putting average. So two different ways to get around it. Of course, Ryan Fox, one of the longer hitters as well on the tour. So different ways to skin this particular cat, as it were. And what this does stick out is if you look at the par four scoring, and I guess this makes sense because we're talking about a course where there are 13 par fours on it. Horsfield, he was 8 under par for the par fours, only 3 under par for the par fives. Ryan Fox was 5 under for the par fours, 5 under for the par fives. Yannick Paul, exactly the same as Horsfield, he was 8 under for the par fours and only 3 under for the par fives. Now, that isn't atypical of any professional event. Typically, you'll find the par fives are generally where the bulk of the score are made on pretty much every tournament. So the reliance on par five scoring this week is much, much less than other weeks. And I think that probably helps to narrow down where we should go with this, because players who do rely on par fives to make their birdies and eagles and just hang on the rest of the course potentially aren't going to be able to make the kind of score they need to get themselves into position to contend here. It's much more about par four scoring, I think. We do have some strokes gained stats. Strokes gained approach looks like the key metric if we're picking one particular stat out. Horsfield, he was third for strokes gained approach last year. Ryan Fox was first for strokes gained approach. Yannick Paul, he was fourth for strokes gained approach. So all three of those guys, that's where they excelled. All three of them were 13th or better as well for strokes gained tee to green and with relatively solid putting weeks. So approach first, tee to green second, and then either scramble well or putt particularly well in the week. But yeah, overall, balling it down, second shot golf course, I think. You are going to miss some greens. Even the leaders last year, I mean, 70% or thereabouts greens in regulation was pretty much as good as you were getting. So you're going to be missing 18, 20, 21, 22 greens over the course of the week, something like that. So you're going to need to scramble. You just can't be hemorrhaging shots every time that a green's missed here. Otherwise, you're going to be drifting down the leaderboard. Shorter style course as well. I think it brings more players into it. I think a lot of players will be, the longer players will be clubbing down. In fact, if you look at Ryan Fox's driving distance last year, he was way down the field in terms of driving distance, but he would have been taking much less than driver off a lot of these tees to compensate for it, or to compensate for the fact it's a shorter course. So yeah, I think it brings a different style of player in. A lot of players will be playing shots from a similar kind of position on the fairway, depending how they took the tee shot on. And it will become a more strategic approach, I guess, in that respect. But yeah, approach shots, par fours, I think that's essentially where you need to look. I don't think scoring is going to get out of control either. 13 under, as I say, last year was the winning total from four rounds. And I suspect it'll be something similar this year because the conditions really don't look different at all. So, yeah, I expect something low teens, I expect under par to be the winning total. In terms of my picks, I've backed four here this week, and I've tried to learn from missing out on Adrian Meronk last week. Because if there's a player that just fits everything and you kind of get a bit sniffy about his price, then I think sometimes you've just got to bite the bullet. And you've mentioned it recently, Steve, on the PGA Tour, there's just this kind of wave of players winning kind of sub 30 to 1, 28, 25, 22. There's plenty of players going in at that kind of price bracket, both sides of the Atlantic, isn't there?
Yeah, we had Clark 80 to 1 last week, Taylor Moore 70 to 1 at that Cobhead event. But apart from that, 8 to 1 Finau, 28 to 1 Fitzpatrick, 9 to 1 Rahm, 20 to 1 Connors, 25 to 1 Wallace, 11 to 1 Scheffler.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no one bigger than 28 to 1 apart from, you know, the Taylor Moore and Clark wins.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, you know, Adrian Meronk last week.
I could go further back than that, but it bore everybody. But yeah. That's the key spot. Sub 28 to 1.
Does seem to be producing an inordinate amount of winners from that kind of level at the moment. So
100%.
So yeah, you know, if there's a player there that fits, ticks all the boxes for me in that bracket, it's Yannick Paul. And, you know, I've been on Yannick Paul quite a bit over the last few weeks, but there's no particular reason for me to deviate from him, I don't think. If par four scoring is going to be key this week, which is kind of my assertion from the preview, then Yannick Paul is the highest ranked player in this field in terms of par four scoring. He sits currently fifth in that ranking for the season to date on the DP World Tour, and in this field that's the best out there. So again, if you were to go as simplistic as ranking the entire field by par four scoring, Paul sits at the top. I backed him in India. And you mentioned it earlier, he was leading there, five-shot lead at halfway, and then lost out to Marcel Siem in the end there, which was disappointing. Backed him in Korea, he finished sixth. So two each-way places there from Yannick Paul, but hopefully, we might get third-time lucky this week. We shall see. I live in eternal hope. Since Korea, 38th and 23rd, so it looks like his form's dipped a little bit, but if you look into that, he was a halfway leader in South Korea. He was eighth into Sunday last week in Italy as well. So had he continued and pushed on from those positions as well off the back of form of 2-2-6, then I suspect he'd be favourite this week rather than a little bit further down the field. So I think for me, he's got a perfect game for this. Second here last year. He won in Mallorca as well. 15 under that was. And that was another sub 7,000 yard par 71, another Parkland course, bent grass greens. It was very similar in terms of the correlation that you could draw between that course and this. So, lots and lots to like about Yannick Paul. 20 to 1, biggest bet of the week for me on the German. A little bit further down the field, Ashton Wu, 60 to 1 I've backed, and that was with 8 places each way. You can take 66 to 1 if you want to take fewer each way places, but I took the 60 to 1 with 8 places each way. I backed Wu in this last year, actually. Now, I worked through some hypotheses of how this might pan out and some correlation potentially between this course and Diamond Country Club in Austria, which is where they play the Lyonnais Open and a few other tournaments in the relatively recent past. He won there, Ashton Wu, back in 2016. Now, it didn't quite pan out how I'd hoped. His approach game was off last year, but he did top strokes game putting, took to the greens nicely on the week. And I think off the back of his performance last week, where he was 12th for strokes game putting, 12th the strokes gain approach in Italy, then put those two elements together, he could go particularly well this week. Four times a winner now on the tour. And again, we talked about Tom Hoge. It's a similar kind of thing with Ashton Wu. He tends to be one of those players that gets just disregarded or is further down the field than I think his his quality and his potential for winning actually is. So he's always a player that you're going to get a certain premium on if he does pop up. One in Kenya last year. I think there's some parallels with the Kenya course, or both of the Kenya courses that they play over there on the outskirts of Nairobi to this week's track. and some progressive form. I say 32nd last week in Italy. He was third after the first day, and if he hadn't shot 76 on Friday, all ifs and buts as ever, if he hadn't shot 76 on Friday, then he'd have been a lot closer. As I say, some reasonable metrics coming out of his game last week as well to give us a little bit of hope. And a couple of another eye catchers who I spotted last week and I've backed this week. Danny Van Tonder, 70-1, again with eight places each way. I penciled Danny Van Tonder in for this last year and then he pulled out pre-event, so I didn't get to see how he would have played it. But again, that was largely on the strength of his win in Kenya last year, or in 2021 rather. And the Kenya track there, Cowan Country Club, short Parkland-style course, bent grass greens. Guido Bigliozzi is a winner there and, of course, is a winner here as well. So there's potentially some parallel between those two courses. More recently, 32nd at the SDC Championship and also at the Johnson Workwear Open, identical finishes on those co-sanctioned events. He stayed in South Africa afterwards. Seems to have done him a little bit of good. He finished second at the Limpopo Championship on the Sunshine Tour. Came back to the DP World Tour fifth last week in Italy. Really solid long game stats are coming out from last week. But also, for him, pretty crucially, he was strokes game positive on the week for putting, which isn't always the case with Danny Van Tonder. When you see a little bit of a spark with his putter, then he can go on and really contend in any kind of field, given how good his long game can be. So happy to back him again this week, and hopefully he does tee it up, which he didn't do last year. And finally, Santiago Tarrio, 80-1. And Santiago Tarrio, briefly, I mean, very briefly, you had to be blinking, you missed it. He opened at three figures yesterday. But he's been backed in, and quite rightly so, I think, 80-1 there, about 66-1 maybe with extended places. That's closer to where the price should be for him. First for strokes gained approach last week, really stuck out to me. Third for strokes gained tee to green. Finished 16th overall. Nice long game stats coming out of it. Needs to putt a little bit better this week and he'll get himself right in the mix, I think. Third at Fairmont last year. Third at Kenya and this year as well. Again, that Kenya link keeps popping up for me this week. So let's hope that is right. Got four wins at lower levels over the years. All of them at this time of year, all of them in May, between May and June. So he certainly does enjoy this time of year. One for the Biorhythms fans in terms of backing players. 33rd here last year, and his long game wasn't anywhere near where it was last week. So if he can continue to improve, he can continue to play like he does from tee to green and just get a putting performance, which is just the right side of neutral, then I think he could threaten a place or better this week, Santiago Tarrio. So that's four for me. Tarrio, Danny Van Tonder, Ashen Wu, Yannick Paul. You having a dabble with the DP World Tour this week, Barry?
Sorry, I'm not allergic to doubles. That was a bad time to cough. Who have I gone for now? I'm sticking kind of in the same theme as yourself. Alexander Bjork has been very consistent and good to me the last few weeks, so I've rolled it again. There's not much else to say. I mean, it has to be a boom or bust situation at this stage. Like he's just pounding on the door. If the win happens, great. Otherwise, you feel like it's not sustainable to stay at that level week on week without eventually fading off. So hopefully, this is it. Mm-hmm. I like the Van Tonder bet, so I'm going to follow you in with that. I think he had enough, like, let's say, disappointment last week to motivate him a bit more, or maybe focus that bit more this week.
Yeah, he played some good stuff.
Yeah, he did. And I was kind of looking for something a little bit, I don't know, just away from those kind of top few guys and, putting up or doing a predictor, one that kind of popped for me in the top 10 with a good mix of price and recent form as well, as Aaron Cockerill.
Yeah.
Canadian.
Yeah. Who was
playing good golf, isn't he?
Yeah, his last 3 years, second in Japan, 21st and 16th last week. So wasn't here last year at this course, but I figured that kind of form should be able to translate well enough onto this course, and the odds were nice up at the 60-1.
Yeah, no, he has been playing some nice stuff, and it came close, and he lost in the playoff, didn't he, a few weeks ago. In the mix. Could be one of those long price places or better, potentially.
That'll be fine, yeah. Now, I don't know whether it's a bit of a weird week, it feels, with the major next week, so I don't know whether I don't know who to do in a transatlantic double, or do I do them all or not at all. Maybe Bjork and Matsuyama.
Give yourself a bit of ammunition for next week.
Give myself a holiday if I could click a transatlantic double.
Absolutely. What about you, Steve? Anyone catch your eye?
That was a lot of the reason why I didn't look at... Scheffler's price is Scheffler's price, but does Scotty Scheffler win in Texas the week before going to the PGA? I'm always very kind of wary of that. A lot of these top players. I managed to get 22-1 yesterday. Bet365, 8 places each way on Adrian Otegi. Mm. He's kind of Ron Seal, isn't he? This is his bread and butter. Short courses, tree lined. I mean, he won at Valderrama last year. Shot 19 under around Valderrama. So, yeah. He's won in Belgium. He's got a good record here. Flies off to the PGA Championship next week. So, yeah. Adrian Otegi.
Yeah.
That's the one I took.
One of the highest ranked players in the field, so you can understand if he does perform this week, that could be the trick. Yeah, there's a lot of stats to like with Otegi. So again, if he wins, it could be one of those that kick yourself. But no, well, you've got him covered. So we'll see how he goes.
I think that's us, chaps.
Indeed.
I'm going to have a look at this. I'll see if I can slot a couple, maybe one, maybe even two. Because I've got 6 points of stake that have come back to me from Jordan Spieth. So I'll have another look at this Byron Nelson, see what we can do with that. So check out the website. I'll tweet out if I revise, add some tips to my preview for the Byron Nelson. Good luck with your bets this week, chaps.
Yeah, best luck, boys.
You too, boys.
Best of luck to listeners. Please bet responsibly, of course. We will be back on Friday. PGA Championship preview. We look forward to that immensely. See you again soon.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system, the golf